Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we've got a show about happy women. Both personally, and if you know women who you want to be happy, you want them to know about this book. And everybody can read this book. It's got great information in it. It's a profound book. And I've asked the author, luckily she was in New York and she's in the studio, and helping with the interview, I've asked my wife, Deborah Roth, to join us because she's also a happy woman and loves to help other people, other women be happy. So I thought she would enjoy helping out today, and this is right up her alley. Happy women is a great theme. It'd be up anybody's alley. And our guest sitting here is Sarah Avant-Stover. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And the name of your book is The Way of the Happy Woman.
It is, yes.
I love that. It's a better world when women are happier.
I agree.
And this is a labor of love for you because in many ways it saved your life, didn't it?
It did save my life. And it's, I believe, with all of my heart and body in the messages that I shared in the book and how it helped me and how it can help other women.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about what you came from and found and now are delivering to others.
Sure. Well, actually, it started right about here, literally, on the Upper West Side in Manhattan 12 years ago in May. A few weeks before my college graduation from Barnard at Columbia University. And I was diagnosed with the early stages of cervical cancer. And for me, that came as a wake-up call because I realized that the way that I had been living wasn't sustainable. I was really unhappy. I was running away from my inner pain, mostly through exercise, addiction, anorexia, and bulimia. And I knew when I got that diagnosis that I needed to change, otherwise I would die, either of cervical cancer or of something else. I just really tasted my mortality. So I serendipitously got a job offer to teach in Thailand right after that diagnosis. So I went to live in Thailand for the next 9 years of my life, and from there embarked on a huge healing journey and really revamped my whole lifestyle, my whole relationship with myself, mostly through the tools of yoga, Buddhist meditation, and traditional medical systems of Asia, like Chinese medicine and Ayurveda from India.
So living in Thailand really helped change your focus.
It did. It was almost as if I felt like I was at home for the first time in my life. I am naturally a slow person, and so living in New York, I felt very out of my own rhythm, out of my own skin. And something about being in Thailand and the way that people move much more slowly, are much kinder to one another, and the whole Buddhist influence there, it's a primarily Buddhist country, just made me feel really relaxed and more like more of a natural expression of who I truly am could emerge.
One thing I noticed in the book is that you want people to simplify and to find their rhythms and to get into the natural rhythms, which obviously are a little bit slower than we're used to.
Yes. Yes, and so by moving to the other side of the world and being in a different culture, I could tap into that in a really clear way and really experience the effects of how aligning with nature's cycles influences my hormonal cycles, my moods, my energy, and then to translate that back for New York City or wherever you happen to be living in the world.
I call this a stop, look, and listen book because so many people are on overwhelm. Right, Deborah? You wrote a book called Circle of One, and it's all about self. Looking after self. And so this is a book also about looking after self, but by you offering so many details that allow people to learn how to do that. You know, people say, well, that sounds great, but how do you do that? Well, pick up the book.
Yeah, I didn't want there to be any excuses.
Right. There's none left. This book is so comprehensive. It's amazing how many aspects of life you cover. How to take care of oneself on so many levels.
One of the things I loved about it is that it has, you know, this very clear structure through the seasons, which I so resonate with. That's, you know, from a different perspective, you know, which may come up later. But then you have all these try this and these little drop-ins, and I've marked places in the book where you show you have just really perfect little lists. You know, the Dirty Dozen and I've showed that to a bunch of people. You know, the best foods to eat, organically, because otherwise they're pesticide filled. And so there's very, as Peter says, there's details like that. But then there's, you know, wonderful reflections and questions for, for contemplation. And I mean, the book itself has a rhythm between this kind of linear left brain structure, which makes it very user friendly, but then with just, you know, a very intuitive, just lovely little intuitive drop-ins that, and you cover everything between, you know, between the right brain intuitive creative stuff and the left brain structure in the book.
Now let's talk about some of the different aspects of your coverage in here. What there's yoga.
There is yoga.
This is not a yoga book, but for yoga practitioners, they would be very happy.
Mm-hmm. For yoga beginners, really.
Well,
but everyone. But what I loved about it, Peter and I were talking about this, you know, on the way over to the studio today, that I go to yoga almost every day. I mean, I live in my yoga clothes. It's no fun to buy clothes anymore. Peter just buys me yoga clothes. And I, you know, looking through very specifically, not only, you know, hour-long practices for each season, but 15-minute, you know, if you just have 15 minutes to do something. And, you know, for someone that has a long-time practice and does it every day, I found value out of it. But because of the way that you lay it out with, you know, the great little stick figures, I don't know how you managed to do that, some of the positions that you showed stick figures, but they're all clear. And then written explanations of each one. I can totally see someone, you know, who's never, or maybe just beginning yoga, laying down the book, you know, on a table nearby and then just gently taking themselves through because, you know, you're just so clear.
Well, thank you. That's good feedback. It was challenging.
I can imagine. Oh.
Towards the end of it, I was just like, why did I choose to write such a complicated book?
Well, you got through it.
And I did.
It's beautiful. And so there's so much of yoga in here of different positions. And these stick figures certainly make it look simple. And I think that encourages people to climb into it, make it simple. And you have so many clear lists about so many things. There's a lot of stuff. You call it the outward life, and versus you also have parts of the book about the inward life. And so outwardly, there are so many things that we're concerned about that you find very helpful information for. It's about food, cooking.
With recipes, even. Mm-hmm. That's one of those details that I thought was so wonderful, because you can give people all this information and then they can be kind of lost with, especially if it's brand new to them. You know, what do I do with this now? But and you just make it so simple.
And there's so much wisdom about the food because it's all seasonal.
Yes, and actually preparing food and just establishing a healthy relationship with it again after my eating disorders and just a lot of self-hatred around my own body image, even though I've always, you know, I've always had a nice body, but I never thought that I did. So really connecting with food and becoming intimate with it again, shopping for it, preparing it, making dishes that really resonated with my body, that I digested well, and then sharing food with people in community, gathering together, was hugely healing for me, and it continues to be. It is very grounding. Whenever I'm feeling like I'm spinning off into overwhelm or stress, I, even if I don't think I have time, I go in the kitchen and cook something, and I feel so much better afterwards.
That's wonderful. There's so much about naturalness in this book, and so there's a naturalness about the right foods that are natural, the right way to cook them that are natural, the right way to, you know, to know them, and to know yourself in the cycles and process of living your life. I think a lot of this, and what you're talking about, has to do with coming into sense of self-worthiness, that we are worthy of this kind of approach to life, that we need to experiment with it and find it, and then find the joy in the worthiness of living that way.
Yes, actually, one of the members of my community on my Facebook page, she, when she first read the book last week, she wrote, "This isn't a self-help book, this is a self-love book."
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel really good, because really, I get goosebumps thinking about it, but my journey, it has been one into self-love.
Yes.
And once I arrived in that place, it's like, I can do anything. And I'm in love with the world. And suddenly, it's not a struggle anymore, but it's a real delight.
And this book is such a comprehensive book that it shows that you can do anything. To be able to write a book with so much detail in it, and it flows so well, and has the inner writing of it, I think, is what's important. It's not so much that you threw a lot of details together. As Deborah said, it flowed.
Well, and I'd be curious to know too, as a writer, but also because of the depth of the book. What were there surprises in the writing of it? I mean, what new awarenesses came up for you as you were writing it?
Well, the main one is that it's twice as long as I originally thought it was going to be. And when I signed the contract with my publisher, she said, "You know, are you sure that it's going to be 150 pages or whatever?" And I'd never written a book before, and I said, yeah, I mean, that seemed like a lot to me to write 150 pages. And it just kept growing and growing and growing, and we actually had cut a lot of it out. Mm-hmm. But then we realized that everything that's in there needed to be in there. So I think that was the thing that was the most surprising, but it really did flow, because all of these things are so much a part of what I do in my life. It's just, it's who I am. It's mm-hmm. what I do. And I didn't leave anything out. I shared everything.
Well, and the book is so much about, for women in particular, which is a particular passion of mine too, women getting back in touch with their own rhythms. One of the many things I was struck by reading the book is that there is a rhythm to the book that's just very inviting and self-careful. That my book, which Peter mentioned, Circle of One, The Art of Becoming a Self-Centered Woman, mm-hmm. and that all the practices in there are very much bringing women back to their center, you know, grounding them in their bodies, which, you know, the yoga piece
is huge
mm-hmm. for that. Well, and so is the food piece. Mm-hmm. But then you got all kinds of great coaching questions, what I would call really brilliant coaching questions for, you know, for women to reflect on, and, you know, both in terms of, which I loved at the beginning and end of each season, where you have not only questions for them to kind of assess, you know, the progress they've made, and, you know, reflection questions, but then there's visioning questions, you know, so, you know, what do you want to be focusing on now, you know, over this next season? And at the beginning, and just a little, just so people know what the book looks like, it's, the first part is kind of a overall, you know, giving you an introduction to the pieces that people will read in each season. So you talk about Ayurvedic practice and yoga, and then even just the first page of each season gives this wonderful, you know, boom, boom, boom. This is, you know, this is the element that's, you know, attached to it. This is the energy. This is the color. Right, mm-hmm. exactly. probably smells in there somewhere. I don't know if it was.
I'm
a big aromatherapy person, right?
In the text part of it, I included some of that.
Yeah, I think so. So it's really, you could pick the book up no matter what season you're in, and you know, and walk into it in a way that's very comfortable. I mean, read the first part first, and then it just happens that it's coming out in the spring, and the book starts in the spring, and that's very convenient. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people can pick this up in winter and just read the first part of the book and then go right to winter. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that was the intention, just to be as accessible as possible to as many women as possible. So,
definitely.
And that's why it's not just a yoga book.
Yeah. Oh,
if you're not into yoga, you can go to the other chapters.
Right. Or if you want to play with it. I mean, I thought it was fabulous to, you know, for people, especially busy New Yorkers who don't always think they have an hour to do yoga, just to feel like even in 15 minutes they can, you know, come back to their selves, to their soul center, you know, it doesn't need to be complicated. And you're so terrific throughout the book in making it... getting women to pull back and not feel overwhelmed. You don't have to do all of these things. You know, just pick one. Just start somewhere. Take a first step. You know, you're not going to be able necessarily to do all of these things, you know, every season. But, you know, but you've given such fabulous tools.
Well, and I think that part of it is not so much fulfilling all the details so much as living in the heart of what it means. And believing in oneself to find happiness in each own individual way.
Yes.
And so this gives the opportunity for people to find their own way. Because a lot of it, as Deborah said, you have questions for people. You're not just telling them. You're asking them and to find what means something to them.
Yeah, I think that we can get so busy that we lose time for that self-inquiry. But it's so important to just really question how are we spending our time? What do we really want? Is how we're spending our time reflecting our deepest priorities? And we need to just carve out the moments to do that so that we don't feel unfulfilled or resentful about our lives. But our lives are in our hands.
Go
ahead.
There's always self, and that's what we have to not lose track of in this busy world of so many people and so many responsibilities. We do need to revere the temple of our own bodies and our own needs so that we can be better for everybody else. And this allows that. And so I think a lot of it is just if people have the book and just want to read parts of it, everything they explore in the book is an exploration of themselves.
Yes.
And I think my comment question had nothing to do with that, but
but
actually maybe it does, because we're talking about how self-oriented it is. But you've also stressed, and you do it throughout the book, and you've done a couple times today, the value of community in this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at your website. I didn't have a chance to go through it really closely, but. Am I remembering correctly that part of your, and whether you're doing it already or whether you envision the book, you know, being a catalyst for this, kind of starting happy women circles or communities in different areas?
Yes, and that's my intention with it. And I sell a kit on my website, the Women's Circle Startup Kit.
That's right, I remember that.
So to help women who are interested in forming these communities to do that. And then I just like to grow organically, so just to see what happens from that in terms of creating a network around the book, and also during my book tour, I'm offering to go if there are women's circles in the various cities I'm going to be in, to go and facilitate one and just help them to see a path for themselves. But community is huge. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I was so miserable 12 years ago, because I didn't have a community. I was really isolated, and I didn't know how to be vulnerable in front of other people. And now I couldn't live without my community, both the men in my life and my girlfriends. I need them for different things at different times.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that Deborah's been leading for many, many years are moon circles. And that certainly honors the cycle and It's so helpful for women to commune in these circles in cycles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, when women are in community and in a sense of these cycles, apparently their menstruation is aligns with each other. They all kind of are in the same cycles together.
Yeah, it has this mysterious and magical healing quality,
mm-hmm.
both at the soul and with the body.
Right, and so this is an opportunity, the way of the happy woman, or let's call it also the way of the happy women too, because we're talking about circles and community, is to be contagious with it.
Yes. Yes, because once a woman is lit up, she's going to light up everyone around her.
Right.
Right, because women are stronger social animals than men. Men are more independent, and women need each other, need to commune together, and that's traditionally, historically, that's the way women raised families.
Well, not just women being a community together, but women for millennium have always been the community builders and
mm-hmm. the hub.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if, you know, as whoever said it first, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
I was just thinking that.
Yep. And so it starts with us.
It does. And I mean, even though this was written for one-to-one, I'm just speaking to one woman at a time through the book, my vision is that, yes, it will cause a chain reaction.
And I'm thinking historically about women's lib and where it came from. And it was a breakthrough, and it was certainly changing the story years ago. But it wasn't that women knew how to be liberated. They just knew that it was time to be, and they would do things like burn their bras or whatever, and those
were
statements.
You're dating yourself.
Right. But those were statements. Those are back in, you know, the 60s when I flourished in my youth. So this is a different time now where the liberation is not as political, even though that still goes on. And in many countries, it still needs to get started, actually. But in our Western culture, it's time more for the liberation to find its unique self-empowerment.
Yeah, and for women to be women. Mm-hmm. So that our sensuality, our sexuality, all of these things are part of how we are in the world.
Right. It's not about men. It's not about being liberated from men. It's about finding oneself again.
Mm-hmm. And then we can really work together as men and women.
Right.
And
right.
We need that to really partner, the masculine and the feminine to really partner. But yes, first we need to really come home to ourselves. To be able to show up and partner in that way.
I think it's beautiful, and I think it should be beautiful for all men to see women being
whole.
Diaphanous.
that's an image. But being whole. I mean, it's really...
Yeah.
And then to not be so hardened that we push away support, and not to be needy and victims, but to really just stand our ground, but also be open to... receiving support and
mm-hmm. holding the light.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about this book. I just feel that it's full of light. As every page, you know, lights you up when you look at what the content is, and it's so interesting to because you put so much knowledge into it as well as your heart, and there's wisdom, and so I find this, you know, such an attractive book for people to hold in their lives and experiment with themselves and learn to hug themselves better.
Mm. And I think one of the ways that you make it easy to do that is that throughout the book you bring it back to your personal journey, and that's part of, you know, there are many things that make it accessible, but that's something that really I think makes it accessible on a heart basis. You know, women that read this, and hopefully men too, it's a lot of good information for men and women,
mm-hmm.
You know, really get that, you know, how deeply embedded all of this wisdom is for you, and that you've walked the walk, so that you know that it's not always easy. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes it, all this information could be overwhelming. But right. Every step of the way, you make it accessible.
And I was just thinking that you offer so much that people might say, well, if I can't embrace it all, then there's something wrong with me. That, you know, that, again, it's playing that game of not being whole. But if you're whole, then you're accepting of all that you can be, even if you can't be everything that anybody else is. Or, you know, it's not about judging and measuring. It's about feeling.
Yes, and I want women to win. You know, I want women to be able to pick this up and say, okay, how can I win here? And even if that's just one thing.
That's very important.
One thing, then just to feel that they could succeed at that. And then most likely they'll do more, but not to set the bar too high.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they read it and say, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and pick your this. There's a lot of thises in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just about changing the pace.
Yes.
You know, and allowing, when you change the pace, and as you said, slowing and simplifying, it creates room.
Yeah, to give ourselves like a wider pasture.
Right.
Of just even energetically.
Mm-hmm.
Not to put such a tight hold on how our day needs to be or everything we need to do in the day, but give yourself more opportunities to do less.
Wiser priorities.
Yes.
And what counts the most? What, you know, actually, that's a good perspective to keep, is what really matters. And we're so caught up in the details, we forget what matters and what doesn't matter so much, and we make everything super important. And this is more about what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have I lost myself? Maybe myself is really important.
Hmm.
So, the way of the happy woman. So, and you're building a community around it. So you have a website and a Facebook page.
I do. My website is thewayofthehappywoman.com. And I have a mailing list on there that you can sign up for. And also when you sign up for that, you get the free first chapter, the introduction to the book, both in text and as an audio of me reading it.
Mm.
And I also have a Facebook community, facebook.com/wayofhappywoman. And I will be starting an online women's circle called The Red Tent, a membership community where I'll give coaching calls and have a group forum and things like that. And that will be coming later on in the summer.
You're going to get very busy.
I already am very busy.
Sure. I mean, you had to be very busy to do this. It's interesting. Slowing and simplifying, and then you create this immense book.
And then I go on this 2-month book tour. But yeah, I come back to my priorities. Like right now I'm very busy, but I make sure I sleep and I do my yoga and meditation practice and I eat well. And then maybe all the emails don't get answered and phone calls don't get answered, but I know what I need to do to feel strong and good, and I put that at the top of my list.
That's great. And so I heartily recommend everybody either buy the book for themselves or buy copies and give to their friends. Or both. And live it up with this book. It's a joy to hold, and my wife read most of the details, and I looked at a lot of them. In other words, I appreciated it a great deal and understood that this book has so much in it that I really feel great about. And so I want to congratulate you for
doing
this.
Thank you very much.
And I'm so appreciative that you could come into the studio and be with us and talk about it.
I loved being here.
Thank you. And so, Sarah Avant Stover, it's living the best year of your life. But once you live one year of best year, you're going to want to live more of them, right?
Yes.
Okay. The Way of the Happy Woman. And thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you for having me.
And Deborah Roth, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org, and thank you so much for listening.